San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 9, 2020. Today's lesson is The Love of Your Life with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. This is an amazing day. Today is February 9th. Do you know what happens on February 9th? It's only 5 days to Valentine's Day. Yes, 5 days until we celebrate Valentine's Day. And as we get ready for all of that, our theme for this month is Love Points the Way. And our 2020 annual theme is Explorations in Consciousness. So we know that all through this year, we are going to be guided by our monthly themes as we go through this great exploration in consciousness, our consciousness, my consciousness, your consciousness, and occasionally trying to understand other people's consciousness. But we are going to be exploring. And why? Why do we want to do that? Because there's one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call that God, the living spirit almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Self-existent. I say that and I wonder how many people just brush over that when I say it and not really think about what is something that is self-existent. It is the source of everything. It exists because it exists. If it did not exist, nothing would. It is existential. It is necessary for anything to exist. One, self-existent cause, first cause, that which is all. People call it the universe. People call it the source. People call it science. People call it physics or metaphysics. People call it the Big Bang, but then they forget to explain what it was that banged. I call it the all in all. I call it God, for lack of a better term. So how can I call something God for lack of a better term? Well, I can, because there are so many different written and spoken and drawn, created definitions for what we think of as God. A lot of faiths try to put human characteristics on God. But God didn't say, I am made in man's image. God said, man is made in our image, my image, the wholeness, the allness. That is what man is. That is also what love is. Love is the source of all. So today, as we look at Love Points the Way, our talk for today is the love of your life. First thing people think of when they think the love of your life, they think of a great love, a great romance, one for the ages. Just the when these two lovers together come to kiss, that it is one of the top five kisses in all the world, like in The Princess Bride. That's what they think of first when you say the love of your life. That's what I think of first, momentarily, when I say the love of my life. My husband was the love of my life. My husband still is the love of my life. But if you really want to meet the love of your life, look in a mirror. Byron Katie says, do you want to meet the love of your life? Look in the mirror. Now, why would she say that? Because we need to love ourselves first. We need to acknowledge that we are love first. Love alone can beget love. I want to read you something from the Science of Mind textbook. This is written by Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science. It's on page 298. He says, love is the grandest healing and drawing power on earth. It is the very reason for our being. And that explains why it is that people should have something or someone to love. The life that has not loved has not lived. It is still dead. Love is the sole impulse for creation. And the man who does not have love as the greatest incentive in his life has never developed the real creative instinct. No one can swing out into the universal without love, for the whole universe is based upon it. Let's unpack that a little. because Ernest Holmes has a tendency to put a lot into a few sentences. So he says first that love is the grandest healing and drawing power on earth. Well, it is, but he's underselling it. Love is the grandest healing and drawing power, period. Because love is at the core of everything. And so when we get to the core, to the cause, and see that it is all love, then we can align with that love energy. And that simply dispels anything unlike itself. Now, it's only here on earth that we entertain ideas of something other than the divine, where we say, oh, well, I don't have love in my life. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. It's only in your thinking that there is no love in your life. You think you don't have love, then you're going to have a challenge experiencing the demonstration of love to be received by you. In the same token, when we give love, then we are giving that which we are. That's why the love of your life is you, because you are absolute love. Ernest says, it's the very reason for our being. And that explains why it is that people should have something or someone to love. The vibrations of love are at a given frequency. And so when we have someone or something to love, that frequency vibrates at a higher level for us, uplifting us and uplifting those who are involved in whatever this thing it is that we love and those whom we love. It creates this resonance of a higher energy that changes, that becomes an energy pocket that can then expand throughout the universe, magnifying love. Magnifying love by the thoughts that you have, by the feelings that you have in giving love. To feel that we have no one to love. Nobody loves us. It is a very lonely feeling. And so we know that it's a lonely feeling. And we know that we can say, ah, but you are the love of your life. It only goes so far to hear those words. It only goes so far. Because the difference in hearing the words and changing your life is the feeling within. Do I miss my husband? Absolutely. Do I feel lonely on occasion? I do. And as soon as I start feeling lonely, I start feeling his presence with me. And it's usually in a manner that makes me laugh. Because we laughed a lot. And so when I feel his presence, it's almost like he's smiling at me and laughing and saying, up until now. And okay, I'm not really lonely. I'm just kind of missing his physical presence. But he's still there in my consciousness, in my energy. Was he the love of my life? He was one of them. Was he my great love? Yes. Yes. So we can have great loves. But all these great loves are is a manifestation of the divine in our life, responding with and to and by all of the love energy that we already have within us. For we are divine, spiritual, immortal beings having this human experience. I was reading something the other day and I thought, I should write that down. And of course I didn't. And then I came across it again the next day. I said, I really should write that down. And I didn't. And this morning I went to look it up and I couldn't find it. But it basically says, you are not a body. You are a soul. You have a body. You are not a body. We know that because when the soul passes from the body remains to decay because it has no life. The physical body drops like a clipped rose. You know, it will then decay and nurture the earth through its own, however it works. You are a soul. You are divine. You are a part of all that is. You are made of love. And the love of your life is your life. Ernest says, the life that has not loved has not lived. It is still dead. I take minor exception to the way he phrased that. The life that has not loved has not lived. What I believe he's trying to get to is you haven't fully come into your being. Since you are love, you should be experiencing love. So if you are not loving, being loved, then you are not experiencing fully the gift of life. Doesn't mean that you're really dead. It means that you are not paying attention to that which is fully alive within you, which is divine love, because that's what you are. He says, love is the sole impulse for creation, which it is. Love is the self-givingness of spirit. The whole self-givingness of spirit is how we got this universe in the first place. It is all based on and is love, unconditional love. That's what drives our creativity. That's what drives our growth. That is what drives everything, our consciousness of love, of the wholeness, the oneness of all things. And finally, in that paragraph, he says, no one can swing out into the universal without love, for the universe is based on it. So if you're withholding love, you're not fully out in the universe. You're in your part of it, in your comfort zone or your discomfort zone, your familiar zone. And until we go outside of our familiar zone, using love as a power to move through and into something new, we're going to feel constrained. We're going to feel our muscles more tense if we get near the edges of our familiar zone. So take a deep breath. Know that you are love. And consciously step one foot out of your familiar zone. And that in itself is an exploration in consciousness. This is something that we should affirm. You don't have to, but I think everybody should do this, right? But everybody needs to do what is right for them. So just because I think this is fabulous doesn't mean everybody will agree. However, Ernest Holmes thought it was pretty fabulous. He put it in his book. It's an affirmation. God in me is unified with God in all. This one is now drawing into my life all love and fellowship. I am one with all people, with all things, with all life. As I listen in the silence, the voice of all humanity speaks to me and answers the love that I hold out to it. God in me is unified with God in all. And I note that this morning, Reverend Mark's quote from about 200 pages later in the book is, God is love and love is God. If we know one thing about Ernest Holmes, is he repeats himself. Repetition of thought. And it's not one of those things like if you repeat a lie often enough, people will eventually believe it. No, this is the truth. This is the truth. God is love and love is God. God in me is unified with God in all. Why? Because God is love and love is God. And the Father said, let us make man in our image, in the image of love. Why bother to create anything if there's no merit to it, if there's no value in it, if there's no love for what you are creating? Artists, writers, all these different creative types, when they create something, what are they doing? They are creating with a passion from within, with a love from within, something that is a part of them. An artist sees things, creates an image on a canvas. It is not an antiseptic image. It is a part of the artist that the artist felt so strongly, so emotionally, so passionately that they were compelled to create this. Think of God as the ultimate artist. Ernest says in here, as I listen in the silence, the voice of all humanity speaks to me and answers the love that I hold out to it. He says, "The great love which I now feel for the world is the love of God, and it is felt by all and comes back to me from all. I understand all people, and this understanding is reflected back to me from all." You are a part of humanity. Has everyone seen one of those images where you've got a picture of a person looking in a mirror with a reflection of them looking in a mirror with a reflection of them looking in the mirror? And it's like it goes on forever, this image of someone looking in multiple mirrors. Well, what did I say earlier? Do you want to meet the love of your life? Look in the mirror. You are the love of your life. And also, you need to love yourself first. We say that in lots of different ways. Care for yourself first so you can care for others. Care for yourself first so you are not an empty vessel and therefore have nothing to give. When the oxygen masks fall down out of the ceiling in the airplane, put yours on first before you try to put on a child's so that you don't pass out from lack of oxygen while you're putting on the child's, because then both of you will die. So put yours on first so you can help others. Fill yourself with love first so you can share it with others. And there's one other reason. Love yourself first, because that's who you'll be spending the rest of your life with. I would not want to spend the rest of my life with someone that I didn't care for or that didn't listen to me, wasn't nice to me, said bad things about me. Is that who you're living with? When you're living with yourself, are you being kind to yourself? Are you honoring yourself? Are you having self-talk that supports you? Not one of those, "Oh, I messed up again." You did not mess up. You had an ingenious and creative solution that nobody else appreciated. I have Facebook, and I have many, many musicians in my family, and they play multiple instruments. The most are guitar and piano. So I saw this ad for a sweatshirt. And it said, "When I'm playing piano, I never make mistakes. I make spontaneous, ingenious expressions of music." Something like that. But it was basically, so when you're playing the piano and you hit a wrong chord, there's nothing wrong with that. You're just being creative. I want to share something else with you from Science of Mind. 478. So, hey, it's right in there where your quote was. There's a part in the Science of Mind textbook that Ernest Holmes writes about the teachings of Jesus. And this is from the teachings of Jesus and based on the biblical verses, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Now, it's really nice to say, "Oh, well, it's this chapter, this verse," but what the heck is going on? How is this in context? So I want to tell you what the context was. It was the Last Supper, and Jesus was talking to his disciples, his apostles, and he said Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And the disciples got all up in arms, and he said, hey, I'm going to dip this little bread in some sop, and I'm going to give it to the person who's going to betray me. So he dipped it in there, and he gave it to Judas. Judas, he then said to Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. Now, in the biblical version, it equates whatever Jesus dipped this piece of bread in, as when Judas ate it, he was suddenly filled with Satan and was therefore compelled to do this betrayal thing. I don't remember that from the King James Version, but oh well. So they're at the Last Supper. Jesus sent Judas out to betray him. And he tells the apostles, I'm only going to be with you for a little while here. You're going to seek me. You're going to look for me. But just like I said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. And this is where we pick up with John 13, verses 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If we are loving in our community, if we are feeling this great love that is within us, that is our very source of being, because love is our natural state. When we feel love, that's our default position. It's only all the things that we've been taught along the way that keep us from expressing the joy and the love that we had as infants. When human beings see a baby smile and giggle, they are changed, every single one of them. It lightens them up. Even the most depressed, angry, hateful, whatever person, however horrible they are, when they see the image and the sound of a baby smiling and laughing, their energy shifts. It does. We feel when we have love, when we love one another, we feel in the deepest recesses of ourselves that central flame of love that is the universe. And that love starts by recognizing that each is a life created by and as love. Created by love and a life that is love. Therefore, you are the love of your life. So, this is what Ernest Holmes has to say in this section. Love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire itself. It is written that God is love and that we are His expressed likeness, the image of the eternal being. Love is self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. Love is an essence, an atmosphere, which defies analysis as does life itself. It is that which is and cannot be explained. It is common to all people, to all animal life, and evident in the response of plants to those who love them. Love reigns supreme over all. Love reigns supreme over all. He goes on to say, the essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything, fires the heart, stimulates the emotions, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit. Only love knows love, and love knows only love. Words cannot express its depths or meaning. A universal sense alone bears witness to the divine fact, God is love, and love is God. Where have we heard that before? From Reverend Mark Obkamp this morning. God is love, and love is God. And you'll find that in the Science of Mind textbook on page 478. Breathe. Simply breathe. This is deep and powerful stuff, but it is also way up high, uplifting and enlightening and exciting. The love of your life is you. It is life. It is simply love. Your life is love. Your love is life. Boy, I love it when a plan comes together. Your icon on your program insert today is a heart. Now, of course it's a heart. This is February. Love points the way. Valentine's Day. Of course it's a heart. But it's not just a heart. It's a heart that is being cupped in nurturing hands. Not one set of hands, multiple sets. So it is being nurtured and held. And it says, fill your life with love. Fill your life with love. You can also fill your love with life. You are the hands. You are the heart. You are precious. You are the most precious life in the universe. And so the first thing I thought when I came up with those words were mom's favorite kid, dad's favorite kid, and how some of the parents will say, oh, you're my favorite. And then they'll go to the next one, oh, you're my favorite, so that everybody is the favorite. And I thought, well, that can't be, so I need to explain this. I need to explain how you are the most precious life in the universe. There is only one life. That life is God's life, and that life is your life now and every day. All time. So there is nothing you can be but the most precious life in the universe. Think of that. You are the most precious life in the universe. So, one of the things I'm probably going to talk about next week is the five love languages. So, for your preview, there are five different ways that people express themselves with love. Next week is building a work of heart. And so rather than look at how the five love languages work in an intimate relationship with your partner, we're going to look at how they work in community. How they work in community. Same love languages, slightly different interactions, more profound result in the community. So I invite you to come next week when I do talk about that. So today we have talked about the love of your life, and that you are the very love that is all things. You are the love of the life divine. You are the most precious life in the universe, because of the unconditional love that is the divine. And when we experience unconditional love, it can bring us to tears. It is so beautiful. It is saying, I accept you exactly as who you are. You may have things that I don't like about you, but that will never impact the way that I love you. To give that love unconditionally is absolutely freeing. To receive that love unconditionally is absolutely humbling. With graciousness, it fills us with joy, but to first receive unconditional love for someone or for the divine to say, hey, you're you. And I love that you are you. That without hesitation is how we need to love ourselves. You are you. You do you better than anybody else could possibly do you. So let go of the judgment, let go of the fear, let go of the doubt, let go of the any thought in your head that says, well, I shoulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, or Connie said I shoulda, on whatever it was I said, everybody should be a part of this affirmation. Everybody should not. Everybody needs to make their own decision. And I love everyone in whatever their decision is. I love you. I love you because you are you. Because you are love. And there is a love that is between each of us that cannot be denied, because it is the source of who we are. So be the love of your life. Be the life of the love that you are. Thank you for your time and attention. Namaste.